The Old Testament reading is Psalm 46. This will be found on page 571 in the Church Bibles. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Hallelujah.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
As we remember the desolation of war and suffering, show us hope from your word in the name of Jesus who lived and died to give us that hope. Amen. Please sit down. I wonder what Remembrance Sunday means for you. Perhaps it's memories of a family member or an ancestor who died or was seriously disabled, physically or emotionally, as a result of war. Imagine the horror of the trenches in films like Journey's End that some of us saw last week. Perhaps there are concerns about all those parts of the world where there is still war, and those who are currently in the services in dangerous parts of the world. Sadness about the list of sons who died that will be read at the next service. The poignancy of the last post and reveille, and the poppies which help us to remember. The poppies, the symbol of remembrance, thanks to the British Legion. Those scarlet poppies, which are so familiar, grew naturally where earth is disturbed. The Napoleonic Wars transformed bare land into fields of blood-red poppies growing around the bodies of the fallen soldiers. And once again, in late 1914, the fields of northern France and Flanders, which had been ripped open by World War I. Once the conflicts were over, the poppy was one of the only plants to grow on otherwise barren battlefields, a memory of those who cruelly died in war. But once the poppies are there, the battle, in that area at least, is over. Poppies are not just a symbol of remembrance. They're a symbol of consolation, of peace, of resurrection, of hope, which is why I have them on my stole. Our readings today speak of that hope. The first line of the psalm is very well known, isn't it? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A song of hope. Whatever happens, we don't need to fear. Do we manage not to worry? For those people who are involved in wars or who have loved ones involved in the war, it's particularly hard. How can we not worry when we see that humanity has not learned from the effects of that great war, which we've heard so much about in recent days? That was not the war to end all wars. And we continue to see conflict in so many parts of the world. We fear, too, when we hear of tsunamis sweeping communities away, when mountains crumble in earthquakes, when floods are sweeping Jordan, when wildfire sweeps through paradise in California. We feel helpless, don't we? What can we do? What hope do we have for humanity? Do we really trust in God when we suffer and see so many people suffering around the world? Psalm 46 was probably written when David had won victories against the neighboring countries. And it is an encouragement. I understand that when Martin Luther heard any discouraging news, he would say, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." It tells us, firstly, that God is our refuge. We do not need to fear. God is our refuge, our strength, a help that is present with us. God is all sufficient, so we don't need to fear. If God is with us, who can be against us? We can take comfort in God when things look very black and threatening. The help of God is greater than any crisis. But I wonder, is that our experience? Can we look to God in difficult times and find that he takes away our fear? This hasn't anything to do with any safety or strength inherent in us. Spurgeon said, "We may be timid by nature, but God is our refuge. We are as weak by nature as bruised reeds, but God is our strength." If God is a real refuge, strength, and help, then there's no logical reason to fear, even in the biggest crisis. The psalmist considers the most frightening natural phenomena available, imaginable. He then makes a reasonable estimation that God is greater than them all, and that if we were afraid, we would be robbing God of the honor due to him. God is our refuge. And secondly, he has done great things and has the power to do more. He is involved in the world he created. And the death and resurrection of Jesus gives us that hope that goes way beyond the grave. He is the God of Jacob. Not only Jacob the person, but Jacob the people of Israel, and Jacob of all praying people. The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, has been, is, and will be with us. has been, is, and will be our refuge. He is our refuge. He can do great things. And thirdly, we can be confident in his promises. Though the world seems to be in chaos and Christians are persecuted around the world, we have the assurance that God's kingdom and his church will survive. And one writer says, the secret of the confidence is the consciousness of the nearness of God. And that may be why people turn to God when things are tough. But sometimes we do feel hopeless. Verse 4 of the psalm speaks of a river, but there are only very small streams in Jerusalem. Rivers were a protection for cities, preventing their enemies from getting too close. And I think that we have to think of this river as a spiritual river, the stream of God's sustaining blessings which support us when we trust him. A river of God's grace and a reminder of God's covenant with his people and his love for us in Jesus. Commentaries suggest that the command to be still in verse 10 is addressed to the psalmist's enemies. It means, be still, enough, stop. God will be exalted. He will have his way, will do his own will, and will glorify his own name. That may not be in ways and times that we understand, but we can be still too, and know something of God and his power. We can be calm and resilient, knowing that the Lord is God. He is God alone and will be exalted above the heavens. We can have confidence in his power and control, in his love, his mercy, and his help, because he is our refuge. We can exalt him. And we can look at the poppies and know that they are for remembrance, but they're also for hope and consolation, beauty created out of the desolation of war and suffering. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember this day. Fulfill in them and in us the purpose of your love, and bring us all to your eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.